I believe it would be easy to reduce today's gospel reading to the portrayal of three categories of the human condition. It would be easy to reduce this story to the portrayal of a present-day account of three primary characters in a spiritual play. It would be easy to reduce this narrative to a description of what happens when one encounters Jesus. It would be easy, but it would also be wrong. For in truth, today's gospel reading, story, narrative, brings all these modes of understanding the human condition, and all these various approaches to understanding are provided at the same time. It's like reading a particular passage from a Shakespearean play and initially getting a superficial understanding of Shakespeare's intent. One gleans a deeper meaning of what Shakespeare hopes for us to see, to feel, to learn upon reading it a second time. And finally, only upon a third or fourth reading do we begin to gain the most intimate comprehension of Shakespeare's message. By gaining insight into the human condition at various levels, at various stages, and in a variety of circumstances. For instance, consider the play King Lear, when Lear says, "I am a man more sinned against than sinning." Or in Hamlet, when Ophelia states, "We know what we are, but know not what we may be." Now, each of these statements may have a number of meanings depending on how we hear them coming from the mouth of a particular character and from that character's place in the play as a whole. From its impact on us as if we are part of that play or how we might understand it in our current life situation, a situation from our past or a situation yet to come. So it is with today's gospel reading, but only if we allow ourselves to be open to all the possibilities, open to all the opportunities for meaning present in the story. Now, before we proceed, it's important that I offer a little bit of a disclaimer, because I lay no claim to the ultimate understanding of this spiritual play. My goal is to attempt to open some of the prospects for meaning that we may meet along the way as we journey through this story, portrayed in the description of the characters within. I hope that this may provide each of us with the opportunity to come to a better understanding of ourselves as we come into contact with each other at different stages of our lives, and as we encounter each other in all the different circumstances that we experience during our lifetimes. With that said, let's look at the trio of characters with whom Jesus comes into contact. There is the tax collector. His name is Matthew. There's a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, and a young girl believed to be dead, whose father is the leader of the local synagogue. On its face, we encounter a man who's a sinner, a woman suffering from a malady that makes her socially unclean, and a child who may have died. We're being offered several of the conditions that impact all of us as human beings at one time or another during our lifetime. Quite simply, Jesus wants us to understand that all of us are sinners in one form or another, that all of us have suffered or will suffer on some level in our life, and that all of us will experience a death or a loss in some form or another during our lifetime. Now, if that was not enough, Jesus also wants us to grasp that these three characters are all part of the kingdom of God. And by virtue of this, we are also part of the kingdom of God. Not despite of what we experience or endure, but because of it. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, we are called to recognize that each of these persons, the sinner, the one who suffers, and the child who may have died, now have an opportunity to change his or her life. Each one of them has that opportunity to accomplish such a change depending on the way in which each of them chooses to respond to their previous circumstance in life. The crossroad each of them encounters and the choices each of them makes moving forward. Of course, you know, there's always two ways to go, right? There's also the possibility that, like us, they might choose at times not to practice the art of spiritual self-reflection in any meaningful way, not to move beyond our current state of sinner, sufferer, griever, but rather to plant ourselves there permanently. Now, it's clearly possible to assert that each of these characters' encounter with Jesus was simply a coincidence. It just so happened that Jesus encountered Matthew at the tax booth, because that booth just happened to be along the path Jesus took that day, and that Jesus just happened to still have one open seat for supper. Also, it just so happened that the suffering woman was in the crowd that day when Jesus was walking down the street, and despite her position as a social pariah, was able to get close enough to Jesus to touch the fringe of his cloak. It just so happened that the leader of the synagogue, after finding his daughter unresponsive, encountered Jesus at the most opportune time in an attempt to plead that Jesus save her. Pure coincidence, you might say. And I could not necessarily dispute that. However, that's not really the point. The point is, can we recognize the possible significance such a coincidence or an event might have? Can we allow ourselves to invest spiritual capital in such events, to the point we consider the possibility that such a coincidence could be a sign of God's presence and God's power in our life? Now, in light of all this possibility and all these coincidences, it's not surprising that an author, Squire Rushnell, the author of the Godwink series of books, created the word Godwink, and for that created word also created a definition. Now, I'm really not a great fan of created words. They seem to find their way into popular usage and even into the dictionary, but, you know, there are perfectly good ways to say things with real words. But anyway, for example, the created word Amorite, Amirite, is simply slang used in writing for am I right? But there's more. Yeah. Fluffernutter. It's a sandwich made with peanut butter and marshmallow cream between two slices of white sandwich bread. I wouldn't try that, but anyway, it's in the dictionary. And finally, dad bod. I'm just going to leave that one with you. No comment there. So back to Rushnell and his created word, Godwink, which he defines as an event or personal experience often identified as coincidence, an experience so astonishing that it is seen as a sign of divine intervention. Of course, we do not necessarily place significance in every event we might see as a coincidence, nor, I imagine, do we attribute divine intervention in every coincidental event that comes our way. Also, I'm sure there's some folks who do not assign the moniker of coincidence to any event in life. However, I believe Rushnell's word godwink and the definition he attributes to it are both helpful in unpacking the spiritual drama that envelops our three primary characters today. But before we can take advantage of such a blessed coincidence and claim that this particular coincidence is truly an event of divine intervention, we must be willing, open and willing to use the divine power of this experience to lead us toward willingness to recognize who we are and to take the opportunity to change who we may become. That change must be just as astonishing as the coincidence, the event itself. For instance, if we continue to maintain, like Lear, that we are beings more sinned against than sinning, then we will never recognize the opportunity we have to change, to grow, to evolve, to transform, because we will never recognize the opportunity that is right in front of us. Rather, we must accept that opportunity and that challenge Ophelia's statement offers in accepting the reality that we can truly come to know what we are, but know not what we may become. And that's a risk, to finally know what we may be, what we may become. We must be willing to take the risk of becoming a better version of who we are, a better version of ourselves. And we can make this possible by recognizing the divine in all our experiences with others. Truly, Jesus is calling all of us not only to recognize the reality of who we are as persons, the reality is that all of us are sinners in the spiritual sense. All of us are suffering to some degree on a spiritual level, and all of us experience spiritual death or loss at some point. The recognition of this reality is the first step in becoming open to seeing and accepting that God does not wink at us for the fun of it. It's not a game. It's a challenge. A challenge to draw our attention to the opportunity each of us has to take that risk of growing beyond our present reality, as comfortable as we may be in it, of evolving beyond our current spiritual limitations which we have placed, of truly transforming into better spiritual beings and therefore better human beings. So be alert, be watchful, be observant. A God wink may be coming your way before you know it, but be aware your God wink may start and end in the blink of an eye. Amen.